Alyssa Washota had always thought of Seattle as a beautiful city, and then she spent her summer in the control tower on top of the Fremont Bridge. It was part of the city's writer-in-residence program. And the more Washota looked at the Lake Washington Ship Canal, the less charmingly beautiful she found it.
The first thing that I saw was that, you know, it's not a river with riverbanks. There are human-made boundaries to the water. There are human-made boundaries between the water and the land, and they're very obviously demarcated. The next thing that I noticed was the trees. That is one of the things that makes the ship canal view from the tower so beautiful to me, that it's tree-lined. But my assumption is that probably almost all of the trees that I was looking at are non-native species.
Mm-hmm.
And the more that I researched the ship canal, the more I learned about why it was created, how it was created. And I started thinking about the process of dredging and the way that the water came in to fill that. And immediately Lake Washington's water level dropped about 9 feet. And then slowly over a little bit of time, it dropped 20 feet. The Black River dried up. And so my, you know, gazing out upon the ship canal began to be sort of imbued with all of these thoughts about the destruction that had happened, the displacement of Duwamish people, Duwamish villages that had been along the Black River that happened as a result of the creation of the ship canal.
And yet it came to you that, you know, I've just been told over and over that the ship canal is beautiful.
It was partly that I'd been told that. It was partly that I know that my sort of process of being a colonized individual and having a colonized consciousness makes me assess things as beautiful in a certain way.
Will you say more about, you said you used the phrase that you have a colonized consciousness.
Mm-hmm.
What do you mean by that?
I am a Native person. I am a member of the Cowlitz Indian tribe from southwestern Washington. My whole life I have been living in the United States, which is a settler nation that was built upon indigenous nations. And I wasn't raised on a reservation. I wasn't raised in a place that was wholly native. I was raised quite far from my tribe. And so although my mother is native and I was raised by my mother and my father, I was taught by both of them, and I was taught by the schools in New Jersey. Mm-hmm. I was taught by the people around me there. So I was taught by a lot of non-Native people as well as some Native people. All of my learning, no matter who it was from, was influenced by the fact that we had all been born in the settler state.
And that ship canal is of a piece with a settler state. Dominated and subjugated and channeled and regraded mm-hmm. place.
When white people came to the place that's now Seattle, they found a land that was a horrible place to build a city in a lot of ways.
Right.
There were a lot of steep hills. There were tide flats. There were rivers that flooded the riverbanks. And people who had been living here since the beginning of time knew exactly what to do with that landscape. They knew exactly how to live here. They had seasonal rounds of gathering and fishing and hunting. They had figured out how to live on this land and with this land a very long time ago and were very good at it. And the settlers came and saw a landscape that had some things going for it, some things that could help them achieve their goals of wealth. But they felt that the land needed to be changed. And so they set about changing it. They regraded the hills. They took the hills down from some of their steepness to what they are now. They created the ship canal so that they could have a channel that would be of use to them in their commercial needs. And, you know, they created this canal because they wanted to dry up the Black River. They wanted the water level to drop in Lake Washington, for the Black River to dry up, and for the flooding to stop so that they could use that land and turn it into real estate.
As you spent your summer in the tower of the Fremont Bridge looking at the ship canal, Did you think about the connection between your colonized mind and our colonized land?
While I was up there in the office this summer, I was thinking a lot about the connection between the colonized land and my colonized mind. And something that came up in my thinking and in my writing project is my refusal to accept impermanence. And I was writing about a breakup that happened this summer and the ending of a relationship over the summer and how much I was fighting that internally because I just wanted to find my forever partner. I just wanted this relationship to be set. I wanted to know exactly who I was going to be with so we could make our forever plans for our forever house and our forever life. And one of the biggest threats to me during that breakup was the idea of losing that dream of permanence. And I wrote a lot about that, and I thought a lot about that, that I was wondering whether that refusal to accept impermanence was part of my psychological colonization in a way, that my ancestors participated in a seasonal round. They moved around. They related to one another probably differently than I relate to people. And I wondered how much my desire to have that house and to know where I was living and what I was going to do with my life forever and who I was going to be with, that came to me pretty strongly as somewhat related in some way to this desire to set the landscape forever so that it would never change, so that there would never be a Black River to flood in the spring, so that there would never be tide flats to flood, so that the landscape would always be basically the same.
So Alyssa, you're sitting up there in a perch in the Fremont Bridge, and how do you come to terms with how much was lost in Seattle and how much you appreciate Seattle? Like, what's the consciousness that you want to, what do you want to see when you look at that ship canal?
I was thinking a lot about the people who are still here, the ways in which the land was changed and things were lost for those people, and what my part is in it. I think I knew from the outset that I felt that because I use the bridges, because I live on this land, I am complicit in that colonization. I take part in it. I benefit from it. And I felt that it was my job as a writer, as a researcher, to find out as much as I could about the places that I love. Like the Arboretum, Foster Island used to be a place for sky burials, and that was outlawed by the settlers. There are other places in what's now Seattle that were also places for sky burials. And so the more I researched the place, the more I learned about specific notes of importance throughout the city.
Yeah, when I see people in Seattle applauding the protest at Standing Rock, for example, in Dakota, I sometimes wonder how much they're aware of their own, you use the word, complicity.
I think a lot of people don't want to think about their own complicity. I know it's hard for me. It's not comfortable, but it's also incredibly important. You know, we have the privilege of living in this beautiful place, and I think that comes with the responsibility to its original inhabitants. It's, you know, the people I think of as its forever stewards, the people who have always been here and the people who are always committed to this place, and that's the Duwamish people. And in the greater Seattle area and beyond, in the region, in Washington State, there are environmental challenges that are coming up, that are ongoing.
Alyssa, do you think your mind will ever not be colonized?
I don't know. I've never thought about that. I think there's a lot of talk about how to decolonize institutions, how to decolonize practices. And I don't really think that a complete decolonization of my thinking process is possible for me. And I don't think that that's really something that I'm necessarily working toward, because I'm trying to work toward other goals and other uses of my energy, like helping Native students to get graduate degrees, helping Native writers flourish and find opportunities for their work to reach readers. And I can do that without being a fully decolonized individual, luckily.
Seattle author Alyssa Washoda, telling you about the summer she spent in the control tower of the Fremont Bridge. It was part of an artist-in-residency program with the city's Office of Arts and Culture. And Washoda will present some writings from her time in the tower on Saturday, February 18th, at Seattle Public Library's Central Branch. This is KUOW's The Record.